Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Sound Advice, The Law Matters. This is Carolina Denhard here with my co-host, David Towle. David, how nice to see you again.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to be here.
You know, I really just, didn't I just see you in the car, in the office, in court in the morning, on the way, right? I mean, this is, how do we even get here today?
I think we are literally going, other than sleeping for 6 hours, I think we are literally going on hour 48 together.
What? It's been a rough couple of days, as many divorce attorneys out there could probably attest to. For those of you just tuning in, first time for our third show this season, right?
Yep.
David and I are both divorce attorneys with the law firm of Budd Lahrner in Short Hills, and we've taken to the airwaves to talk about different issues that face a lot of individuals, most individuals going through divorce, whether men or women.
That's absolutely true.
We like to bring issues to you that we are discussing in our own practice groups, but issues, most importantly, that are relevant to the listeners. And today we have a very special lady joining us, a woman that probably needs no introduction. But nevertheless, Mary Dougherty, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Mary, for those of you who don't know her, and certainly you can't see her, she's a ray of sunshine. She's a blonde beauty, very well respected. She's a real estate agent in the Morris County, right, area.
Yep.
Also the president of Morristown Women in Business, and the mayor of Morristown happens to be her husband. Just mm-hmm. to kind of throw that in. But it is so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Carolina. It's so great to be here today.
So we want to get right into it and ask you what you find most challenging about being a realtor in a world where one out of two marriages end in divorce.
Yeah, great question. Absolutely great question. And I'll tell you what, generally, that is the biggest pot that anybody's looking at is the equity in their property, right? So I think the most challenging thing is in there is to make sure that everybody knows we're still one big team as we're forging through the divorce, right? So we're on separate sides, but the whole motto and the whole goal is to really sell that house, get that equity, and then move on with your lives. And that's the piece that gets stuck. A lot of times people don't know how to let go. And so I promise them when you get to the end of that road, you guys, your lives are going to be completely different.
Literally right before we walked into the studio today, Carolina and I were dealing with one of our clients who's in the process of selling their house. They actually had to go so far as while they did have one real estate agent, they had to get two real estate attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They are now fighting over whether or not one party can come in and take the stuff out that needs to come out before they can close title and what day that's going to be. And whether or not it could be a Tuesday, a Thursday, a Saturday. And by the way, the other party's living in the house and saying, hey, if the closing gets delayed and I don't have to start paying rent for another month, then, oh, well, too bad, so sad.
Right.
And time of the essence closing, of course, on the part of the buyers, et cetera, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina and I, as the divorce lawyers, are sitting there saying, we're watching letters flying back and forth and flying back. Look, guys, we're the divorce lawyers. We are here to help you and help you on that side, but we can't really step in other than to say you got to do what the order says to do, which is to sell the house. You know, that's one of the things, though, and that's part of the reason what Carolina was touching on before of why we do this show, why we address issues with real estate agents, with life insurance agents, with counselors, with therapists. In our role as divorce lawyers, we hit the gamut of society.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with every professional that you could imagine and some that you probably can't imagine. And a lot of times we're dealing with topics that unless you've been through it and gone through it, you wouldn't even consider, oh, wait, that would be, I guess, an issue that they'd have to deal with. So that's...
But real estate is really at the forefront because most people getting divorced either are selling and or buying a piece of real estate, right? So the example David just gave unfortunately happens all too often.
It certainly does.
So yeah. have you seen any of those horror stories where people are, you know, holding down, you know, putting their legs against the wall and absolutely not willing to cooperate? And how do you handle that?
So it's really a difficult situation, but it happens all the time. And I think mostly it's about somebody having control, really, again, losing sight of the end game, right? So the end game is to move on with our lives and have a better life outside of this. So, you know, it's about communication. It's about constant phone calls, constant emails, constant conversations about what the important thing is. I cannot tell you how every time I'll say you have a showing at 2:00, the husband may say, well, did you hear what she did yesterday? I don't want to hear what she did yesterday. I want to tell you what time your showing is, and I want to get you to the end game of selling your home. So I really play that professional middle, middle of the road person that I don't have a relationship with either party. I'm just here to do my job. And it's really refreshing at the end of the day. I'm actually thanked at the end of the day, believe it or not. But after we get through all of that, often I have to call the divorce attorney in to have conversations with their client to say you're not doing the right thing.
I was actually just going to ask you about that. How often, maybe as the joint agent, are you involved in the what I'll call the divorce drama and trying to get people to really do the right thing? Because there's this whole other sale going on here that may have all sorts of consequences if people start delaying because of their emotional reaction to the divorce.
This is where we grew up. This is where we raised our family. This is where little Timmy took his first steps. This is where Joni fell and hit her head. How could he even think that I should sell this home? This is where we lived.
That's right. That's right. And it happens all the time. And absolutely, I don't want my kids to move out of the school district. What are their neighbors going to say? It just continues to go on. But, you know, back at that, it's almost like a punch back in your laps is, can they afford to buy that spouse out? And if so, what's their life going to look like on the other end of that? Are they going to be able to sustain that? So we really work as a partnership with the attorneys.
Well, at what stage do you normally come in divorce cases?
So Well, it could be all different stages, really, but it's that final let go. So generally, I'm seen at the end of the process. This is where, like, okay, now we're at agreement. We understand what's going on through the divorce. Now we've got to get the equity and move on. So it's usually at the end piece.
And so what is your primary area where you sell?
So that's a great question. Thanks. Technically, I'm licensed through the state of New Jersey, but a lot of areas, it doesn't make sense for me to go. If I don't really know a market area like Red Bank, I'm not going to go down and list a property there. But I can refer it to an agent that I trust. I really focus on the Morris County area and then the surrounding counties right on the edges. So I'll go into the edge of Somerset County, Essex County, Bergen County, Sussex County. But anything deeper into, we kind of say north of the Driscoll Bridge, if you will, you know, something we're really familiar with. We want to be of good service, so we don't want to just list a property.
Right? Well, you know, there's times where what we get is we'll get a question from a client. And they'll say, well, can you do this for me? And I know what I do and what Carolina does is oftentimes we'll look at them and say, could we do it? Yes, we are attorneys. We are licensed to practice in the state of New Jersey. We could do this. We can do X. But are you best served with that? Or can we send you to somebody who is a trusted confidant, who is somebody who we have vetted and we have addressed, and we know if I send them to Sam or Mary, not you, Mary, but another Mary who happens to be a lawyer, they will do the best job for you.
Right.
Far better than I, because we are divorce lawyers. I can't do a complex commercial transaction. I just wouldn't want to do it. But that's why we work with people like that.
Partners. So I think it's really important that we have someone, for example, we're divorcing a couple in Morris County, and we need to sell a home that they've owned for many, many years. So while we, kind of go through all the emotional baggage that's going on there, to bring in someone like yourself who knows the area so well, who could help expedite the process, who might know other people if there's things that need to be repaired or getting the house ready or whatever it may be, your Rolodex allows for you to tap into those people and to really make our jobs easier and for the parties' lives to be easier.
Absolutely.
Right? So
absolutely.
Do you work with a lot of different vendors, a lot of different people?
We absolutely do. And we have a huge list of people that we trust. And that often changes depending on what the market's like. So right now, construction people are really difficult to get their hands on. So we have the little handyman. You know, anything that you need, we know how to refer out. And what we do is we allow our clients to have those relationships. So we give them the numbers, they'll call them, they'll decide whether or not it's somebody that they want to use. But you said something really important about, when you have a client that has to sell their home, generally I'm pulled to the table because I don't know either party. And that's the objective piece. It's really valuable for a lot of people. So you can't say it was her real estate agent. She didn't get enough money, or he knew them and they didn't, advocate for us. I just go in to sell the property. It's really a business transaction for me. So I take the emotion out of it for them and let it just be, a straight shoot.
And sometimes when people just cannot agree on anything, like, for example, the basics of what will the sale price be, right? Or where will the funds for the repairs come from?
Yes.
We often have to go to court and get something, called an order, pendente lite order, meaning that while the divorce is pending. Do you find that when you have those orders in place, that it makes your job easier because then the people will more or less abide by the terms?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I recently had a septic system that needed to be fixed, and the husband absolutely refused to do it. And that order was in for him, and we got it done. We got the closing done. Because remember now, you've got a family on the other end looking to move in.
Right.
Sure. So it's not just the two parties that are getting divorced that we have to consider. We have to consider who your buyer is and be fair to everybody across the board.
You know, one of the topics that, and this will play nicely with talking about the Morristown Women in Business, which we'll probably tackle after the break, but with alimony reform came, you know, a lot of questions for women with regard to how much will I get? How long will I get alimony for? How will I afford a home? I haven't been getting support for very long. Will the bank even grant me or, you know, will I qualify for a mortgage, et cetera? Do you deal with a lot of women that end up staying in the home and buy out the husband's interests and the obstacles they face in getting that funding for themselves?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely do. So there's a lot of times that I'll be called in to do a competitive market analysis. So I'm not a licensed appraiser. It's not an actual appraisal, but it gives you an idea of what the market would bear. And that's how we gauge what the buyout would be, right? It all seems like a really great idea and nobody wants change and everybody wants to keep their kids in that same house. But on the back end of that, it's really difficult to sustain yourselves if you haven't been working, you know, constantly in the workforce, if you're just starting out again. If, you know, it's sad, but so many women don't even know what their bills are. My husband handles that still in today's day.
Right.
So, you know, they're thinking that I really want to hold on to this, but at the end of the day, it may not be the best choice for them. And they have to find that out. On their own, really.
One of the points that Caroline was just raised was that with the alimony reform statute in 2014, one of the things that they did do, which had not been in effect up until then, was that the legislature inserted a provision that allows for interim support, pendente lite support, to constitute income for the purposes of various issues. One of the reasons why they did that was exactly for the point that Carolina was raised, is that mortgage brokers, they want to see X number of months of support.
Yes.
They want to see X number of months of income, in quotes, before they could guarantee somebody is a good person to give them a mortgage to. So in a general instance, like you said, Mary, that you come in once the agreement is signed and everybody knows what's going to happen is, okay, so now we're going to sell this house. And let's say, let's just use the sex stereotypes that we do. And let's say wife needs to now get, she's getting support and she needs to go buy a new property. She just received X number of dollars in equitable distribution. She can't buy the house outright. She needs to qualify for a mortgage.
Right.
But she's only gotten 1 month of alimony under the agreement. Okay. Well, under the statute, the amended statute, the court says, the legislature says that you can look backwards and you could look at the interim support. And that can qualify, if you draft it the proper way, as quote-unquote income for the purposes of letting a mortgage company qualify them for a mortgage.
Right. And a lot of this is so important for the women listeners out there because divorces, as many of our listeners will know, are not fast. In a lot of cases, these things, you know, can go a couple of years. So while you're trying to undo the marriage and find your way through that whole process, and you're now forced with thinking what's going to happen, you know, down the road, this is almost like a safety measure to allow you to be able to present the fact that you have been receiving support and that you are a qualified candidate for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. Because without that, these women, and again, to be, you know, sexist, right, were left with very little opportunity to be homeowners post-divorce unless they had enough equitable distribution that they received to buy something. And in those situations, you know, how many women are those, right?
Right, very few.
So I think it's wonderful that we have this built into the alimony statute now. And I think it also should speak to our women listeners to take a little bit more of an active role in the family finances if they're not, because God forbid something happens, death, divorce, or disability of a spouse, you will be faced with this task. So for the women that you help sell homes for, right, and they are in that role of, you know, I've had a 20-plus year marriage, my husband took care of everything, I really never had to worry, what are some of the things you hear from them as divorce is looming, plus now they have to leave the marital home?
Right. So, you know, the overall arching is fear, constant fear, because they really don't know that there's answers out there or that there are solutions out there. And plus the fact that the change that they've just gone through in the divorce has really kind of taken a toll on them. So it takes a little while for people to kind of pull themselves back together a little bit. But I can tell you it's extremely empowering after that. I moved a wonderful woman with her two children from a lovely home that she owned with her husband. She'd gotten the home through the divorce and was able to do that. And she always dreamed about just being walking distance right smack in the middle of Morristown. And she was able to buy a house walking distance from Morristown. It was extremely empowering for her. And so that, I believe, you know, from my lens, was a very big step into her new life, into her new self. So
was she able to do that because she had a support system?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I hear constantly from women getting divorced, and I think it actually comes from you guys as divorce attorneys, is there's a team involved in a divorce. There's a therapist, there's an accountant, there's an attorney, there's a realtor, like there's a team. And then you lean on your friends that are your positive friends, not ones that want to continue to kind of lead you down that road.
No true words have been said. Mm-hmm. You and I talked offline about this platform that I've developed called A Smart Woman Knows How to Protect Her Ass Sets. We
right.
of course offset ass because everybody needs to protect their ass. Hope we don't get censored on the radio for using an ASS word. But the bottom line is that you have to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, then you know what? It's never too late. Because no matter what the circumstances are, you could always have a supportive group around you to help you get to the next stage. It may not be the stage you thought. It may not be the door you thought would open. It may right. not be the life you thought you were going to have, but it's a new opportunity. And David and I certainly, in the way that we practice, is the first thing we do is assess the situation and determine what vetted professionals
need?
We need to bring to the table.
Yep. Right.
Not everybody needs a realtor. Not everybody needs a therapist. Chances are they do. But what else do they need? People that downsize need movers, need organizers.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a lot of women that move from these big homes in Morris County to swanky lofts in Jersey City that I'm in love with, right?
Right.
And they need creative spacing solutions.
You wouldn't have room even for your shoes.
I think
you're not going.
But it's you know, as the woman is not even thinking of that, and all she's thinking of the fact is, my God, I have to leave my home. And as David was saying, you know, Johnny grew up here, Betty grew up here.
Yes.
We're thinking about, okay, how are we going to take a 6-bedroom house and get you into this beautiful loft space?
Mm-hmm,
so it's so important for us through all of our community involvement, and Mary, you'll speak to this in a moment through your Morris Women in Business network, Morristown Women in Business, that these vetted professionals have to be on standby, right?
Absolutely, they do. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because Carolina just asked you that the last question she had asked, and you know, we all have our little pads here, and I'm jotting down notes, and it's ironic that you asked that question because I had written here, champagne wishes in a beer budget.
Oh,
and that's
the story of my life.
trust me, same here. But that's sort of one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, okay, so now I have somebody, they come into your office, they sit down, they say, look, here's a picture of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, it's a landscape picture because it's, you know, it's that big. And now this is what I'm getting.
Yes. Yes.
And help me, Mary, because I don't want to live in a, you know, 2-bedroom apartment on top of a candy store, even if it is in the heart of Morristown. But, you know, this is what I was accustomed to.
Yes.
And how can you help me now on my new possibly reduced beer budget?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I spent years doing relocation. And so this actually marries itself very...
no pun intended.
Yeah.
As we divorce you.
So, you know, I moved people in from Georgia, from North Carolina. The sticker shock coming into New Jersey is really something that they're like, what? I only get that for that much money, you know? And so that's what happens to people on the back end of a divorce, where I've come out of this huge, huge property. You know, everything was taken care of for me. And now I'm responsible for taking care of the lawn or, you know, everything on my own. And so it's really about education. It's about guidance and education. So we go through what's available in the market. We go through what the budget is. We go through where they're qualified for their mortgage. And then we start to work around what type of housing that they want. And so that education process gets them used to. Now, nobody's going to love it at first sight or love the idea that they've got to downsize in that manner. But, you know, when you get there, after you kind of settle in a little bit, then you realize I've got everything I need. I mean, not everything I want, but all of my needs are met. And it's a different lifestyle now.
Do you find that women are open to buying 2-family properties and having a little bit of cash flows and investment?
Not so much. Not so much yet.
This is my new platform, ladies. For all the listeners out there, this is my new platform.
it's actually a great venue, but I think that the privacy is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many women coming out of divorce still want to have their own space. And in a multifamily home, or, you know, that's not going to be there.
What are your thoughts about it, though?
I love it. I actually own one.
I knew you would.
Yeah. I'm owner-occupied in a 3-family home. Have been since 1999, and I absolutely love it. I live in the heart of Morristown, the historic district. We were able to walk to everything. I'd love to tell you I do, but I don't. I'm too busy. But it's wonderful. And the tenants are not only great, they become family, but they also pay into the mortgage and the insurance and all the bills. So it's a great lifestyle.
See, I really think that a lot of people are afraid of that. And I know we worked with an individual last year that was all about trying to kind of push this kind of model. And yep. I found it very fascinating. But although it could be scary, it also is a creative way to, quote unquote, manage your portfolio and your cash flow and really invest in your own future, especially when you're a woman that will be getting some retirement assets by way of, you know, division in the divorce. But maybe you've never worked and the job you're going to have is not going to provide you with a retirement component.
And on the other side, in addition to the retirement component, there's another positive to it, and that's this. Whether you're going to live in that house or not, whether it's to be owner-occupied or not, if it throws off positive cash flow, mm-hmm. great, extra money on the front end. But also between your property taxes, your mortgage, your insurance, your depreciation, it's going to give you a credit under Schedule E, if I remember correctly, under Schedule E that will help reduce your tax load, because now you who may have gone from not really doing anything because everything was a joint tax return and you didn't really have to worry about anything, or maybe you had a part-time job, now you're receiving alimony. Yeah. And now, oh my God, I'm getting X number of dollars of alimony, and then you get the call from your accountant saying, by the way, did you make your quarterly payment?
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
what?
Yeah.
You mean I need to pay tax on that?
I got to pay tax on that? Yes, you do. And not only do you have to pay taxes on it, unless you really want to get in trouble with, you know, the tax man, you got to pay quarterlies.
Yes.
Because otherwise they're going to say to you in April, oh, you owe X dollars. And after they scrape you up off the floor, you're going to still have to pay it. So true. The concept of having an investment property, and I know that this is something that Caroline and I have discussed numerous times with many clients as well as elsewhere, it's a good from a tax planning perspective, especially mm-hmm. when you're going to have somebody who's going to suddenly have, quote, income, close quote, that they didn't necessarily previously have to deal with.
Right.
But do you
right.
find that then women are just, my God, that's not for me? That's too
I think
scary.
That the impression of the maintenance that might be happen in that is a little scary. It's a little overwhelming.
That toilet breaks. The toilet breaks at
exactly.
2 a.m. Now
I can't
what?
Do it. But here's what I do.
Yeah, but
I
guess have, what? The toilet's going to break in your house too.
Exactly. And you do the exactly same thing. You call on the plumber that you know, the handyman that you know, and the list of people that are going to help you to maintain this property.
So do you, I, probably through your Morristown Women in Business, which I promise the listeners will get to after the break, but do you find that you have to do more explaining and emotion management when you're representing women clients who are going through a divorce, or are ladies out there resilient and ready to go? And
they're resilient and ready to go. They really are. You know, everybody handles things differently, but overall, you know, they're strong women. Their life has just changed, you know, so they're dealing with all those pieces, but pretty much they're strong women, they're intelligent women, and, you know, they move on to the next phase of their life.
I'm going to throw a plug in for the other chromosome to say that it, you know, from what I've seen, it works both sides.
Oh, yes, men also get upset and overwhelmed at divorce. Although,
absolutely. Yeah, and otherwise.
David's separate show will talk about that issue. So we have a little bit under 2 minutes. Tell everybody the name of your group.
Oh, great. Okay.
Oh, we actually have a little more time. Good. Well, anyway,
okay.
You just started your own group, didn't you?
Well, my
own team.
Real estate team.
Yes.
Absolutely, we did. So I've been licensed since 1991. I spent a good portion of my career in relocation and global relocation, and then back into the sales where myself and a partner put a team together. That worked great for 3.5 years, but business was so good. And we just, it was really bubbling over. So we split and I started my own team with my partner, who actually happens to be my son. So it's Team Daugherty at RE/MAX, and we are really excited. We're a little bit over a month into our team name, but our service hasn't changed and our business model hasn't changed. We've just kind of spun off a little bit, and we're very, very excited about it.
And where are you located?
We're in Morristown, right mm-hmm. in the heart of Morristown on Madison Avenue. But we do service all of Morris County, like we talked about.
And before. Do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's a general RE/MAX website, and then, you know, hyphen Mary Daugherty.
Mm-hmm. So with the fact that your partner is your son, do you ever have to get into an argument with him? And the answer is, because I'm your mother and I said so.
not in business. Only when raising him. Ryan is a 30-year-old young man with a business degree from Montclair State, and he joined me in the business about 3.5 years ago. He has excelled like nobody's business. His whole generation is buying new homes, first-time home buyers, and investing in properties. my generation are downsizers, right? So we're downsizing, we're getting rid of those sprawling lawns, going into walkable communities. So our business really complements each other.
So that's really interesting. So you're attracting clients really along the whole spectrum. So not only are you working with divorce attorneys such as David and myself, but you're working with people that are graduating college and looking for their first place, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And people that are saying, I forget the big house on the hill, I'd like to go into a high rise in Jersey City, as I talk about all the time. Mm-hmm, so that's really actually very interesting, working with all individuals
all spectrums, across the gamut.
When the families are there and they're raising their family, it's okay, fine, you know, unless you're going to be increasing or decreasing substantially the size of your house, you're pretty much there.
Right.
So, you know, between yourself and your son, you're getting them almost on both ends.
We are.
And that's very, it's a very cool model. And I'm sure that the growth that you've seen is going to continue to expand exponentially.
We certainly hope so.
It's got to be really interesting too, how you advertise your specialty. If you're hitting everybody, right? So basically it's, we have something for everyone.
We pretty much have, we put the real in real estate is what we say.
That is absolutely right on. So we have Mary Dougherty here. We spent the first part of our show talking about her immense experience in the area of real estate. Wonderful information.
Thank you.
Really happy to work with you.
It's a pleasure.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Mary's other hat that she wears, although she probably has 50 other hats, as president of the Morristown Women in Business Network. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these short messages.